So one of the things we're going to talk about this morning is stewardship. We're continuing our travel through Ephesians. We're getting into Ephesians 3 this morning. And we're going to talk about being good stewards. But there's all kinds of stewards, you know, in title, you know, I was kind of thinking about that. You've got, you know, ship stewards and what, flight attendants or stewards and stewardesses. Stewardesses. I don't know. They don't like that title anymore, and I don't know why, because it's actually being a steward, as we get into our discussion, we're going to find out that's actually a noble title. Union stewards. We've got union stewards. That got Neil's attention. Something finally got his attention. No, I'm kidding. And the boys and I, from our scout experience, we're more familiar with, you know, the really important stewards. What steward would we be reminded of from scout camp? The dining hall steward. I mean, come on, that's got to be the important one right there, right? And the weird thing about the dining hall stewards is they don't even cook anything. Which leads us to the next part of our deal. I mean, what is it about being a steward? What is a steward? So when you hear that title or you hear that word, give me some ideas of what steward would be. Not steward. A steward. Any ideas? Okay. Manager, somebody in charge? Okay. What else? Anything? People that care. People like stewardesses or ship stewards or people on buses or whatever, you know, what's their job? Their job is to take care and meet the needs of people on that vessel of whatever they're on, right? I mean, taking care of getting them drinks or taking care of just their comfort. But yeah, people that are in their charge. The dining hall steward that we're so thankful for at scout camps. You know, their job is to make sure that their people that are in their charge, this dining hall that is in their charge, is meeting the needs of the rest of the camp. And usually that means a couple hundred very hungry Boy Scouts and adults. But, you know, it's the Boy Scouts, right? Yeah. Union stewards. What would be a good, what a union steward should do? Getting a fair deal. So in other words, you're a representative and you're taking care of those people that you've been put in charge over. Absolutely. So now let's switch the conversation, because we throw the words being good stewards around a lot in the church. So we're gonna move it into our spiritual side. As members of the church, as members of the body of God, of Christ and God's family, what does it mean to be a good steward? To me, it means giving. Now before we get into that, I mean giving everything. Giving of your time, giving of your talent, giving of your resources, giving of you is what I'm getting at. How? By giving of yourself. By
showing
yeah. So you're giving yourself. It's not all about giving money. Because I know whenever we talk about stewards, it's always about, I mean, it's not always. It seems like money is at the top of the list. And it's not. It's the talents. It's the stuff that God gives us that we're giving back. It's that opportunity to give back. And we don't have to go very far into the Bible. We have to go way back into the Bible to see that first example of where stewardship is a call and a command of God. Go back to Genesis 1, and we're going to see it. Genesis 1, 27 and 28 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Right from the beginning, God gave us a job to be good stewards of his creation, caretakers of his creation. Taking dominion of and subduing is not saying forcing it into our way of thinking or to fit our means or no, that's not what he's saying. Take care of what I've given you. Because way back at the beginning, especially in Genesis 1, there was no problems in the world, right? We hadn't got that far. I mean, I know it's only one chapter later. We hadn't got that far. So he's like, take care of what I've given you. Subdue it. Anything that gets out of hand? But being good stewards in the church, our church here, and the church, the big C church, you know, God's church, is giving. Like I said, of yourself, of your time, your talent, your resources, see, God gave them to us, and we need to give back. So let's get into our scripture, and as we do, I want to remind you what we were talking about last week at the end of chapter 2, and it was about unity. Unity in the body, unity in Christ, unity. And the reason we got to talk about that is because Paul starts right off. Ephesians 3, by the way, verse 1, and it's on page 154 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. But the first thing he says is, for this reason. That's why we need to remember, for this reason is because of that unity that we have in Christ. Paul says, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ, Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it is now, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So for this reason, for the unity of the body, he says, I've been given this grace and this mystery to share. But this care, that's what he's been given. He's talking about that unity. And because remember, there's no partiality in God. No partiality in God. You have one requirement of coming to Him, and that's through Jesus. And everyone that does that, He doesn't show favorites to. He loves everybody, but He accepts the ones that come to Him through Christ. And we're united unconditionally. And to foster that unity, he's telling the Gentiles here, Paul is, you know, Gentiles are non-Jews, by the way, says in the Ephesian church that God made him a steward of God's grace to them. See, back in their day, so there were so many that were still concentrating on God's grace being on the Jews. There was us and them. But Paul had this passion, Paul had this burning in him to take it out. Well, first of all, because the Jews wouldn't listen to him, the Christian Jews, you know, they wouldn't listen to him. And we'll get to that in a minute, too. So he's like, if you won't listen to me, I'll take it to the Gentiles. That itself is a fulfillment of another promise back in Genesis 22 that God made to Abraham, saying, through you, all nations will be blessed. If you follow my commands, if you follow me, if you believe in me, is what God was saying to Abraham. So through you, everyone will be blessed. Not just this little microcosm of Jewish society. Not just this little chunk of Menden. No, all will come through to him, through this unity. And he says, by the way, I've been made stewards of that grace to you. So stewardship isn't just a matter of our time, our talents, our money, our resources, but it's also being stewards of God's presence in our lives, of the Spirit that He's been given, or that He has given us through coming through Christ. Because you can give as much as that spirit as you can give away, and you know what? You're never going to empty yourself. It's kind of like that oil tub in the story in the Bible that never ran out. You can give and give and give. And he says, I am a steward of this to you Gentiles. To you. And we still have that today, by the way. Although now we don't have so much Jews and Gentiles. I mean, we do, but it's more, what's the case for us? Believers and non-believers, Christians and non-Christians. There's still this us and them factor. But we're not supposed to be thinking that way. It's us and we want more us. And we've been given stewards of that power through the Spirit that Christ has given us. And if we're good stewards, that means of anything that God gives us, we're using it well, we're using it wisely, not for our gain, but to glorify Him. Yes, He wants us to live well, live good lives. But you know, sometimes He asks us to step out of our comfort zone. He asks us to do that a lot, actually. Sometimes there's going to be some suffering. Sometimes there's going to be some stretching. Sometimes there's going to be some pain. But we're stewards of each other, and we're stewards of that grace that's supposed to extend beyond us. Just like Paul did. See, many look at the world also and see all this depravity in the world today, and you don't have to look very far, unfortunately. You know, sometimes it's just horrible to try and filter through the news or filter through social media or even, you know, various other things. But you have all this, the stuff that just brings you down. There's so much crime. There's so much hatred. There's so much division. There's so much, there's drugs. There's abuse. There's all this stuff. And the people that are involved in this, and sometimes we can get stuck in this rut where we're like, how can God love these people? They've fallen so far. Because I tell you, a lot of those people are thinking the same thing. How can God love me? How do I even have a shot? And that's why we've been given that stewardship over them as well. Because we need to remember ourselves that He's given us to them as well. No one has fallen far enough that you're out of the grace of God. Or that you can't come into it. Paul reminds us in that as well, in this little next section that he's got here, beginning at verse 7, where he says, well, that's chapter 2. He says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. But notice what he says here. He says, of which I am the very least of the saints. That sounds real humble of Paul, right? Well, you know, I'm quite the humble guy. I don't think that's where he's going here. Let's remember where Paul came from. He was one of the most anti-Christian guys that was out there. And, you know, hunting down Christians, rounding them up so they can be brought back for punishment. He had fallen so far. And this is a reminder that says, God will use people who have fallen so far to do mighty things. All this was before he was called into to his mission by Christ Himself. He says, by the way, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. He didn't even like the Christians, much less the Gentiles. But now he has this burning passion, this heart that's on fire for that mission. He says, I've been given this job. See, there's the other thing. Paul's like, you know what? I didn't make any of this stuff up. This was not my idea. I tell you right now, this, standing up here, this was not my idea. Paul says, the mystery which was made known to me, which that mystery that he's talking about there was that Gentiles are okay. They can join in too. They're joint heirs. You know, that's the mystery that he's talking about here. But there's way more mysteries than that. So he says, but it was given to me by revelation from God. And then he goes on to say, where is it? Do I have it here? He says, though I'm the very least of the Gentiles. Nope, I left that part out up there. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. See, God gave it to him as well. He's like, I didn't make this up. This all came from God. And now it's my mission, my job to give it out. And to help open up those mysteries. He mentions mysteries twice in this passage. These mysteries that were made known to me by revelation, that the Jews and Gentiles can come together under Christ, can come to God together, joint heirs. God gave me this job as an apostle. Now, the word apostle means what? It means sent one. And when you come to Christ, we all come under this one command. This called the Great Commission. It says, go and make disciples. Well, if he says go, then you know what? You're sent. So we're all apostles in that way. We may not be a title of apostle, but you know what? Every one of us is an apostle because we've all been sent. There's one of those mysteries too. How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? Open my eyes. God's word and God's ways are full of mysteries. But we have help in that too. At the very end of our passage, Paul says, Jesus, in whom the whole structure being joined together. Oh, that's chapter 2 again. Sorry. Where was I? Here it is, Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So we have boldness because of Jesus, because of Christ, because of our faith in Him. And we have access to Him when? Well, all the time. If you can't hit your knees to give prayer to God, and Jesus, you know what? You don't have to hit your knees. If you're driving in your car, please don't hit your knees and don't close your eyes. Anytime. And we can be confident in this. He says, though I am with you always to the end of the age, I'm always there. So we have this confidence. So let me ask you a question, and this is, I'm not looking for answers, but I want you to answer it in your head. How's your confidence? Are you bold? Do you have that bold confidence? Because if you don't, figure out why. That's why we're here, to help with that. To help embolden you. Building up the church is one of our prime objectives. Because a strong, built-up church can go out and go and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So if you're not sure about your confidence, Find it. Find help. Just ask. Find somebody in your life. God puts people in our lives to help us do that all the time, to help reveal those mysteries. And you know what? If you do feel bold in your confidence, go find someone that doesn't. Because you've been made a steward over that person to share your boldness with them, that spirit with them. A bold and confident and mighty in Christ. There's the linchpin. So a bold and mighty and strong, confident church can do great things in Christ together. So we've been made stewards of each other and of these mysteries that Paul talks about. And you know what? These are just a couple mysteries because God's word is mysterious to a whole bunch of us. Actually, it's a mystery to all of us to some level. We're not going to figure it all out this side of heaven, all right? Figure out your confidence. Be good stewards. Be mysterious. Because when we're mysterious, people go, what's that all about? People like a mystery. They like to have mysteries revealed to them. And that's what I challenge you to do too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the spirit that you put on each and every one of us, but also this burden of stewardship. Stewardship of the things you give us. In our personal lives, in our family lives, in our church. Help us see how those gifts that you give us can make a difference in your kingdom and in the work that you have for us to do. To be those mighty and confident disciples of yours. And it's a challenge for many, and it's an uncomfortable feeling for many, Father, and we pray for a breaking of that spirit. That it crashes upon us and fills us and that we may become inspired. And see what you have made us stewards over in our lives, our own personal ministry. So that we can go and do and follow your command, your commission. And glorify you through the process. Give you the glory. Give you the happiness. Give it all to you. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us already. We thank you for the gift of salvation and the gift of your Son that made that possible. Help us not waste it, but use it to reinvest it in others too. Make those disciples that make disciples. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your care. And we thank you for the help that you're going to give us. And once again, we thank you for Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray every bit of this. Amen. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Communion. Almost got away from me.